stream, telecast, video recordings, audio recordings. That's wonderful. That's not a substitute for the flock gathering together for corporate worship, for genuine fellowship. We live in days where we try to make everything virtual. You can't have virtual fellowship.
Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Hello and welcome to this Friday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Well, technology has made it possible for you to listen to Destined for Victory on demand or watch live telecasts right from your computer or mobile device. But the book of Hebrews strongly encourages us to be in the habit of getting together in person for corporate worship. Today, Pastor Paul shares some practical reasons why this is so important. If you can't stay with us, visit PastorPaul.net later to listen anytime. That's PastorPaul.net. But right now, let's join Pastor Paul for today's message. We are a flock.
Telecasts do not make a church. Some of y'all church folk remember the days of a sick and shut-in list. Come on, some of y'all, the sick and shut-in list. Church, put that out, the sick and shut in. Pray for mother so-and-so. She's homesick. Pray for so-and-so. They're in the hospital. Sick and shut in. Live streaming is perfect for the sick and shut in. It's not for the well and about to go out. I don't feel like getting in my car and going over there when I can watch what they're doing right here in my TV, and I'm getting ready to go out and I want to be at brunch at a certain time. I can't do that and sit through the whole service. So I just came to tell you, we're going to have to get this thing done God's way. If we're a flock, we're supposed to get together. If you can't be there, you're sick or you're traveling, streaming is perfect for that. I'm home, can't get out. I'm traveling, can't get there. And because I'm in another country or in another city, then, but I want to see what my church is doing. That makes a lot of sense. But when you're sitting home in your bathrobe, tell me, let me see what they're doing. Oh, I'm trying to preach this message. You're not supposed to be sitting home looking at me saying, "Pastor," and then got the nerve to text you or call the church. Oh, tell Pastor that was a blessing. Streaming, telecast, video recordings, audio recordings, that's wonderful. That's not a substitute for the flock gathering together for corporate worship, for genuine fellowship. We live in days where we try to make everything virtual. You can't have virtual fellowship. Well, but see, the streaming service, there's a comment section, and you can comment, "Amen, Pastor." I see it happening all over the country. Look, I'm not against it. Don't say Pastor's against it. I'm not against it. I'm just trying to bring it into its proper context. If you can't get there, you're not supposed to be sitting at home getting ready to go to brunch. On your way to Macy's. Let me check out Red before I go. I know some of y'all gonna be happy when this series is over. Those resources are necessary, they're helpful in their proper place. But we have to be more committed to what God has ordained us to be and to do than anything else. You can't be more committed to your convenience than to God's purpose. So we are supposed to gather as the people of God as often as we can. Look, y'all got it made in today's world. We typically, most churches gather weekly, gather the people in weekly services. Read Acts chapter 2. The end of Acts chapter 2 said they got together every day. They didn't even have church buildings, big church buildings. So they got together in homes, in houses. And that's how the church multiplied. And then the shepherds, the elders, the pastors of the church checked on the health of all of the gatherings to make sure the people's needs were being addressed. And so when you see Acts chapter 4 and all that, and the people had financial need, the apostles got together and told the saints, y'all got to give. Don't just come up in the house and sing and shout and worship and go home and leave us with no resources. And the church began putting their money together. That's how they fed one another, because we're a flock and we got to take care of one another. I just had somebody join our church and say, now, I'm joining. I'm happy to be here. I'm experiencing God here. And I just want to make sure. I'm coming from another city. And in that city, there was a church that was good. But the pastor got up and said, y'all need to give your tithes and offerings. But if you ever need anything, don't be coming here asking. She said, I'm glad to be here. So I just need to know, just for my information, where you stand on that. I said, where I stand on that is where the New Testament church stood on that. When there are needs among faithful people, we take care of them to the best of our ability. And I don't do that just because we have a growing church. I did that when I first got to California in 1989, and I came to a church of 34 people. The whole church's budget was $60,000 a year. When I got to California, the whole thing, $60,000 a year. And I said, now wait, y'all gonna pay me, right? And they said, yeah, yeah, we want you to be full time. In fact, they made me commit. They said, now we want to call you to be our pastor, but you got to know our church has had for 10 years, their last 10 years, they had only full time pastors, and they were a small church. They had gotten down to 34 because they split. How does a small church split? But it did. And so when they called me to be the pastor, they said, we want you to come. We've had a split. There are now 34 of us, but we want you to come. But the commitment you have to make is you will be full time with us. You cannot get a second job. We know you preach around the country. We've heard you at conventions. That's how we came to know you, because of your traveling ministry. We know you travel and preach from time to time. That's fine. And we will be happy to support you as you do that. But when you're here at home, we are used to having a shepherd who is available to us. He will counsel us. He will pray for us. He'll visit us. We're used to that. So we can't have you on your other job. That's what they told me back then. And I said, all right, now how big is the budget? It's a $60,000. I said, all right, now how much of that is mine? And they said, we have budgeted $24,000 for you, Pastor. We know you're coming from a church in Philly of 1,000 members. And so we would imagine they take much better care of you than that. I said, they certainly do. Oh, I had a package. It was nice. But these folk didn't have a package. They had a check. And whatever you're going to do, you got to get it done out of that check. You're going to get one on the 1st, one on the 15th. And it was 1,000, 1,000. That's it. And I said yes before I had come and figured out what it costs to live here. And I made the commitment. All right, I'm coming. This was in January 1989 when they officially extended the call. But I hadn't been out here house shopping yet. And I got out here, and the trustees took me. They said, we're going to take you to the East Bay. I said, what's the East Bay versus the West Bay? They said, no, not the West Bay. It's the peninsula. I said, okay. The little church was on the peninsula in East Palo Alto. But they had me over in Fremont looking for a house. And they explained, because we want to get you the nicest house for the money that you'll probably be able to spend. And so we're going to take you to the East Bay. But you get right over a bridge and you be at the church in 15 minutes, Pastor. I said, okay, that's good. And the bridge back then, Dumbarton Bridge, was 50 cents. Oh, I'm telling y'all, I remember 50 cents to go across the Dumbarton Bridge. Some of y'all remember 50 cents? Some of y'all probably remember past that. I can't go there. I'm the 1989. It was 50 cents. And I said, and you got to pay that both ways. And they said, no, you can come back for free. I said, all right. So I get over there, 50 cents. I come back for free. All right, praise God. Then they have me over here looking at houses. And I said, oh, that's wonderful, beautiful. Praise God. Look at how sharp we're going to be living, because the houses, the neighborhood was nice, and it just didn't look like where I came from. Because I was coming from the hood. I found out there was a house in the hood right next to my mother-in-law that I could get, and the mortgage would be $200. Because it was in the hood, not a whole lot of folk were moving in, folk were moving out. So I said, oh, $200 right next to my mother-in-law? Yeah, that sounds like God to me. And we bought that in 1986 and lived there until 89 when we moved. I've now gotten used to the past 3 years. I've been paying $200 a month for a house I'm buying. And I get out here and I say, wow, look at these beautiful houses in Fremont. This is going to be nice. And I heard the trustees over on the sidewalk saying, now we're asking God to give the new pastor a house for under $1,000 a month. I walked over to them. I had been admiring the little garden and the little flowers. I remember there was bird of paradise. And I said, oh, look at this, bird of paradise. Because where I come from, you got to be out in the burbs to get that. And I said, but I heard this $1,000. I said, let me walk over and correct them. I was still, y'all stop laughing at me. And so I walked over to him. I said, let me clarify. I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. I thought they were scared I was going to move, so they wanted me to buy a house so I wouldn't leave. And I said, I'm going to buy a house one of these days, but right now I'm just looking to rent. They said, yes. And I said, but see, I heard y'all say something about $1,000, so I just want to get it straight. They said, what's the problem? I said, well, $1,000, you're talking about a mortgage. They said, no, we're not. I said, wait, let me get this straight. Y'all are actually praying and asking God to give me a house to rent that belongs to somebody else for under $1,000 a month. Is that what y'all are saying? They say, yes, and if it happens, it will be God.
You're listening to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California, and Lead Pastor of Detroit World Outreach in Redford, Michigan. The rest of today's message is straight ahead. But first, a quick reminder, our website, pastorpaul.net, is the place to go to order selected resources or to make a safe and secure donation. Again, our web address is pastorpaul.net. And if you haven't already, download the free Destined for Victory app. Search Destined for Victory in your app store. Listen to the program right from the palm of your hand. You can also access the broadcast through Alexa by enabling the Destined for Victory skill. Well, coming your way next, Pastor Paul tells the story of his early days in California. Times were tough back then for that small church, but God was up to something big. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's message, We Are a Flock.
Didn't know what I had gotten myself into. And I've already told them I'm coming. And they praying. God answered their prayer. My first house was $995. And that was a mistake made by somebody in the property management company. Because the owner rented several houses that she owned in Fremont, and she told them what she wanted for them. And they hadn't gotten the proper word to the proper person. She wanted $1,250 for that house. And somebody in the office had messed it up and put $995 because God was answering the prayers of those trustees. And, of course, now, that was 1989, now folk are praying for something under $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. But it, I got a witness over here. But the Lord heard their prayer and honored their prayer. So here I am to be the shepherd of this flock. We believe it's going to grow. And they said, Pastor, you said when you came to do the interview, when you were a candidate for our pulpit, you said that the Lord had shown you that thousands were going to be under your leadership before it was all over. They said, now, Pastor, when those thousands come, we're going to hook you up. I was like, man, you take somebody's vision and work it against them. I'm saying all that to say a flock has got to be managed by a loving shepherd who cares more about the flock than anything else. And so we must gather in the name of the Lord. Number two, we are to watch for the souls of God's people. We are called to watch for their souls, not just gather them, but a shepherd watches for the souls. Did you see that language in Acts 20, 28? We have a job to watch over. We are overseers because we're supposed to see over. We're supposed to see what's going on in the lives of the people and watch for their souls. That's the God-given job. Church didn't hire me and hand me a piece of paper. You're supposed to do this. No, no, the word already gave me my job description. And I'm supposed to watch over the souls of people, pray for you on a regular basis, and ask God to give me and other leaders discernment so that we can minister to you at the point of your need. Sometimes folk come to me after a sermon and say, who been talking to you? Because the message hit them square between the eyes. One person said, so who you been talking to this week? I said, pardon me? See, that message, that was right for me. Somebody must have told you something. And since they were bold enough to come to me like that, I'm bold enough to come back. You got to understand me. You come for me, I'm coming back for you. That's just how it goes. And so since they went there, I said, yeah, somebody did talk to me. His name is the Holy Spirit. And he told me to put this in the message and to make sure to put this in there. And clearly now I know why, because you're standing here with an attitude. Watch for their souls. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey those who have rule over you. People don't like that language, rule over me. It simply means God has given you the oversight, the jurisdiction of these souls, and you're supposed to watch for them. It's not an ego thing. I don't think I'm somebody because God made me an overseer. That means he gave me a job. That's what that means. I have a responsibility to watch over for the souls of people. Watch what it says. For they must give account. If I understand Hebrews 13, 17, that means that I can't just skip through the gates one day like you're all going to skip through. Yeah. I got to wait and give an account. Yeah. God's going to want to know, how did you take care of my flock? Did you tell them what I wanted you to tell them? The way the word of God reads, whether they liked it or not. Amen. Amen. That's my job. So if I got to give an account for y'all, then you sure are going to know that I'm going to preach some stuff that's not going to make you happy. Because I got to answer to God. I won't have God stop me talking about, how come you never told them anything hard? You only made them feel good every Sunday. You only made them feel wonderful. Your church might as well be called Wonderful Christian Fellowship because that's all you did. I'm not going to have God dressing me down like that. I can't pastor Wonderful Christian Fellowship. Sometime I got to pastor, they are jacked up Christian Fellowship. When they leave that church, they're bruised and they're beat up, but they're convicted by the word. It's the word that calls us up. I know what it is to be down. I know what it is to be out of God's will. I know what it is to be reproved by God. And so it's nothing new to me. So when you get reproved or jacked by the word, I know what that's like. Lick your wounds and say amen. Amen. I don't care how much the message was hard. You need to leave just like Andre. Let the church say amen. Amen means so let it be. And so you need to know we gather God's people. We watch for their souls. And the other thing I want to mention is we lead and feed the flock. We lead and feed the flock. Psalm 23 talks about that. The Lord is my shepherd. It shows me as an under shepherd what my ministry needs to have as part of my job. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Take care of the needs of the people. The Bible lets me know that if I see my brother or sister in need, how can we shut up our bowels of compassion? Now we have to learn, every church has to learn how to give people a hand up and not a hand out. We have had to learn how to discern that, because people will come, because sometimes they'll play on your heart, play on your compassion. So I've been in ministry all these years since 1982. I know a story when I hear one. I know what running game looks like before you get happy too soon. Oh, he said they help people. Let me call up. Let me go up there and cry in front of him. I got tissue here, baby. Dab your eyes. We help the needy. We can't help the greedy. But we do what we can to lift people up and all of that. But the point is, you've got to know, a shepherd's got to make sure the basic needs of the flock are taken care of. And then what does Psalm 23 say? It says, he leads me beside still waters, leads me into green pastures. We have to lead and feed the flock. We have to be a healthy church. Because there are sheep wandering around, going somewhere where they're eating brown grass and drinking dirty water. So it's our job to provide green pastures and give them, lead them beside still, clear water where they can drink and eat and be healthy. Don't go to a church where, just because you know somebody who goes there, if you're not being fed the word of God, if you're not drinking from the fountain of living water, that's not where you need to go. Don't commit yourself to a place that isn't committed to your spiritual health. And so I've got to lead and feed the flock of God. Make sure they have a healthy spiritual diet. So that one day they too will hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thanks so much for being here for today's message, We Are a Flock. So glad you joined us. On behalf of Pastor Paul Shepherd and the entire ministry team, I want to thank you for all you do to make the Destined for Victory broadcast possible. As a listener-supportive ministry, we're counting on your continued prayers and financial support, because so many people need the saving grace that only Jesus Christ can give. Your donations do make a difference, so please consider making a special gift today to help share the truth of God's Word with a growing audience. In appreciation of your gift of any size, we're pleased to offer you by request Pastor Paul's booklet, The Power of Partnership. In this outstanding resource, you'll be reminded that no matter how many gifts God has given you, He has designed you to need other people in order to accomplish His purposes for your life. The enemy wants you to remain isolated, but you have been created for relationship, for partnership. And if you want to abide in God's good and perfect will, you need help and encouragement along the way. Again, that's The Power of Partnership, yours this month by request when you make a donation of any size to Destined for Victory. So please call 855-339-5500. Again, that's 855-339-5500. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, that address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
These days with technology, you can watch the services of many live streaming churches at home, and that's wonderful for the sick and shut in. That's not for the well and about to go out. The well and about to go out need to go out first to the house of God, where you connect with other people. You connect your life. You pray for them. You minister to them through your hug, through your encouraging words.
That's next time in Pastor Paul's message, We Are a Flock. Until then, remember this timeless truth. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.